All right, thank you. Members of the Planning Commission and members of the public, I'll go over a brief overview of some of the items that would, I think will interest the Planning Commission. These are items that have been reviewed by the City Council. So the first one is something that didn't come before the Planning Commission, but is something that went before the City Council at least 2 meetings. And this is a wildland urban interface map and building code. And the state is requiring cities and counties within the state to take a look at these urban interface areas, which is the area between urban areas and also wild areas. And so when you have that interface, there's a higher probability of having loss of structures with fires, that type of thing. And so the state has gone through and mapped the entire state. And so this is the map that we've been given here in Midway. And there's only 3 colors shown on this map, but really there's more colors than that. This has been minimized so it's not as complicated. But basically, the lighter the color, the less chance of wildfire in those areas. And then you get into moderate areas, which are orange, and then the high-risk areas, which are the red areas. And there's a couple of different ways that they created this map. And one is vegetation. That's probably the most obvious one. But as you get into areas where there is more density, there's a greater chance of fire jumping from one structure to another structure. And so that's another reason why some areas are orange or red. You can see along the Midway city boundary is this blue line that kind of gerrymanders around here. There's not very much high-risk area within the city limits. The main area that we run into where there are structures is Lime Canyon, the very top of Lime Canyon. But a lot of the red is outside the city limits, and it's the subdivisions that are kind of the cabin subdivisions that were done back in the 60s, like Oakhaven, Swiss Mountain Estates. Those are the ones that are the highest risk area, and in my lifetime here, I've seen 2 fires cut through the on those hills. And so it is an area where we have a history of wildfires, so it makes sense that it is a higher risk area. And the reason that the state has gone through and created the legislation that requires us to take a look at these maps and actually go forward and adopt a map for Midway is as we move forward and there's more and more structures in these areas that have a higher chance of fire, there's more loss that happens. And what will eventually happen is the areas that are higher risk, the people who own those properties will pay a tax, basically, and that money will go to help preventing and fighting wildfires is what will happen. So basically, if you're in a high-risk area, you end up paying more than those in a low-risk area. It's kind of the idea. Now, that won't happen for some time. It'll be probably a couple of years before they go through and define that. But they've given us this map, and one of the things that we need to do with this map is adopt our own map for Midway. And so this slide is really what that is. And what happens is the areas that are lower risk end up having a building standard and a landscaping standard that's different than what's in the high-risk areas. And the direction we got from the state and from the fire district is the line should be defined by easy identified landmarks such as creeks or roads instead of just winding through neighborhoods. And so that's one reason why this line is where it is. It follows Springtown Road, then 5th South, then it goes up Snake Creek to 2nd North, and then over to Homestead Drive, and then it follows the northern boundary of the city. So anything above or to the west of the yellow line, any new structures would need to follow a building code that is more wildfire resistant. And also the landscaping needs to be of such that there's less chance of fire jumping from the landscaping to the structures. And so this is the map that was adopted by the city. There was some debate on if some neighborhoods should be included or not, but in the end, really relying on the fire district's expertise and their recommendation, we ended up adopting this map. Now, it's possible that we will come back and we can modify this map really at any time. We think that maybe in a year's time we'll look at it again. But basically, any new construction that is either west or north of the yellow line will have to meet those higher standards, is what it comes down to. Are there any questions regarding the wildland urban face map for Midway or this item? Okay, next one, and this is the reserve at Midway Phase 2. This is a minor plat amendment. So the minor plat amendments don't come before the Planning Commission for a recommendation, just the major plat amendments. And this is a pretty simple one. It's up in the reserve, so just north of Alais. Here's a close-up of the outline of the subdivision. And what they're proposing was combining two lots together. So that's what's outlined in the middle of the plat, middle of the map. Here is a copy of the plat. You can see the two lots on that plat. And the idea is that right now you can see where that line is. That would be erased. And this would become one lot, which in effect reduces density, potential density in the subdivision by one home. In this case, we already have a home that's built. Usually this happens before the home is built and they end up centering the house right in the middle. But in this case, it's after the home was built. But you know, we generally look at these as a good thing, where it's reducing potential density. It reduces potential trips per day coming from that lot. On average, it's about 10 trips per day, so we're cutting that by about 10 on average. And we've seen quite a few of these over time. There's some details that really aren't city matters that need to be worked out, like how are HOA dues worked out. But again, that's a civil matter. But overall, we look at this as a real positive thing, and these have always been approved in Midway. Yes.
How easy is it to reverse that?
So, you know, that gets a lot more complicated. First, they need to meet the zoning code, which in case the zoning code changes, they probably wouldn't be able to meet that requirement. But second, this type of plat amendment, there's some plat amendments that the legislative body has to approve, and there's some that there's discretion. My understanding is subdividing in this manner is not, there is broad discretion on the city's council's part. So it is possible that they combine them together and then they can't reverse it because the city council could deny it. So it's not a guarantee that they'd be able to go back.
Just real quick, Michael and Planning Commission. So I made the motion on the city council for this issue. The landowner just came to me and thanked me personally, reached out, and so I asked him for context what he thought, because there was some talk that we had about, just because there was language about that it would minimize density and whether it, just context for what we talked about. He said, yeah, that it wasn't anything he really had in mind. He does own the lot, but he did it just for his neighbor behind him so that he would be assured that there wouldn't be any structure and he had a clear view. I thought that was kind of interesting, but yeah. Essentially it's a story about neighbors helping neighbors, which I wanted to share with the Planning Commission, that those things do happen here in our city, which is amazing.
Yeah, thank you for that. I didn't know the backstory to it, so that's good. That's great.
No, that's it. Thank you.
Any questions on this one? Okay. And the last one is one that we looked at in our last Planning Commission meeting. This was a conditional use permit for a proposed church by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So if you recall, it's about 18 acres. The top roughly 5 acres is going to be used for this church site. And we did have a public hearing held before the city council a week ago. And here is the site plan for the proposed church and some elevations. There were comments. I don't remember any comments in contrary to the proposal. There were some concerns about traffic and how Mitchie Lane was going to be modified. And we did try to answer those within the meeting. And the city council did approve the conditional use permit for the church by unanimous vote. Any questions on that one?
Will item number 4 on our agenda this evening have bearing upon this?
It won't, because when an application is submitted, if it's a complete application, it's deemed vested, and so it's vested under the code in place when it's submitted, so it won't. But any future ones will. So, well, I can't say that yet, because we're going to work on that tonight. So,
okay.
Depends on how quick they hand in their application. And then the last one is churches as a conditional use in the RA 143 zone. We found that churches were listed as a permitted use and also as conditional use only in that one zone. All the other zones, it was always a conditional use. So we wanted to clean up the language. That was approved by the city council following the recommendation of the planning commission. So that error has been corrected. Any questions for staff on these items? Okay.
That's it?
That's it.
Okay. Yep. All right. As we begin this evening, I've asked Craig Knight to give our opening prayer, and then we invite all of you to stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Dear Lord, thank you for everything we have today and all we have here in this great community of Midway. Protect our military women and men overseas and all they have to do, and our first responders, and grant us good listening for the points tonight so that we can make good, wise decisions for the benefit of all. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our first item on our agenda this evening is Brad Wilson, City Recorder, will administer the oath of office to Tim Doherty as an alternate member of the Planning Commission.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If you would raise your right hand and please repeat after me, I do solemnly swear that I will support, obey and defend, the Constitution of the United States, and the Constitution of the State of Utah, and that I will discharge, the duties of my office, with fidelity. Congratulations, and if I could have you sign here. Sign right there. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brad, and welcome, Tim. All right. Our next item on our agenda is to review and possibly approve the Planning Commission meeting minutes of February 10th, 2026. Does anyone have any comments or corrections for the minutes? No, then can I have a motion, please?
I'll make a motion that we approve the Planning Commission meeting minutes of February 10th, 2026.
Thank you. Second?
Second.
Thank you, Craig. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that has passed. Item number three, Megan Dial, agent for South Hill Bistro, is applying for a conditional use permit and local consent for an alcohol dispensing establishment at South Hill, located at 23 North Holly Lane, and is in the C2 zone. Michael?
All right, thank you. We don't have the applicant here yet. Maybe we should jump ahead to the next item.
Do you want to go to four and come back to three?
Yeah, we could do that.
Is that what you would like to do? Okay.
Let me see if I've got their number in my phone just to remind them real quick.
All right, I'll give you a second to do that, and then...
Madam Chair, am I voting tonight?
Yes, please. I'm sorry. I thought you heard Michael say that. Yes, everyone is voting this evening.
Thank you. Okay, I don't have his number on my phone, so... Okay, we'll move forward to the next item. Hopefully they'll be here.
Moving on to item number four. Midway is proposing a code text amendment to section 16.13.370.A, commercial and resort architectural requirements. The proposed amendment will require that churches have the same architectural standards as commercial and resort buildings.
Okay, thank you very much. So this is a code text amendment that was really initiated from the city. And we had some comments made by Councilmember Osborne, for instance, talked about this before our planning commission and before the city council. And it's something that has been discussed regarding making sure places of worship follow architectural standards, much like we would any commercial buildings that are proposed in town. And we've had two churches that have been proposed and approved within the last year or so. So I think it's a good change. Most of the churches that we have in place right now do have some old European or Swiss architectural standards. So the church on about 150 North Center does, and the new church being built on Bergy Lane does, and then the church down about 1100 South on Center Street also has some of those elements. The only one that doesn't have any right now that's built is the one down on 2nd South and Mitchie Lane. And so the idea is that we would require places of worship, and I do want to make a comment that our new Commissioner Doherty reached out to me, and we had some discussion regarding what language should be in the code, and with a very good comment was made, very good work, that really churches don't cover all religious buildings. And so having a more broad term such as places of worship, that would cover temples, it would cover from different types of religions, because if it's just church, it really isn't very broad. It's a narrow scope, so we want to make sure it's broad language and covers all places of worship. So what was in the staff report is different from what we're going to look at on the screen right now. And so you'll see on this first slide, places of worship is, instead of churches, is what we're talking about, architectural standards, and it's a code text amendment. And in the code, under 1613.370, this is the proposed change. Commercial, resort, and places of worship architectural requirements, that's the title. Then the actual language in the code would be all commercial buildings and structures, walkways, or lighting in the C2, C3, or resort zones of Midway City and places of worship in any zone, including all new construction, substantial alteration, or remodeling of existing construction, shall conform in exterior design to Swiss European architectural theme adopted in the city's vision statement. So again, what we would be doing is just taking out a word up here, and resort, and then add places of worship in the title, and then add this line in, and places of worship, and this should be read also, in any zone. So that would be the line that would be added, and that would require any new applications to meet our architectural standards that is a place of worship. And so that would cover that issue. We do have, whenever we look at a legislative action, we want to look at the general plan to see if there's support for the proposed change. And so I just briefly went through the general plan and found four items or so that help. They help support this proposal. And so just going over these four items, one of the lines in the community vision statement describes Midway as a town with Swiss character. So that's one thing we would want to make sure the architecture also has that Swiss character. And just for reference, we can't require single family homes to be Swiss. The state legislature has taken that out of a possibility for us. That's in the last two or three years they changed the code to where we can't require architectural standards for single family homes, but we can for other types of buildings such as commercial, mixed use, and also churches, as far as I know, aren't listed in the state code anywhere as something that's protected from having architectural standards. The next one, the plan also states the city ordinances and architectural guidelines will help and define and be consistent with the Swiss European look and feel. So again, this is following that pretty precisely on creating an ordinance that would require that Swiss and European look and feel. The general plan also states Midway's Swiss and European theme will draw families and tourists because of its wholesome family orientation, and with proper support will also attract small town businesses. So again, having that Swiss European theme will help make other things happen here in town. And the last one, city ordinances and architectural guidelines will help to define and be consistent with the Swiss European look and feel. So again, really following a number of different points listed in the general plan. And that's really what the general plan does, is it gives us that guiding light, it gives us vision, and we go through and change our ordinances to match that vision. So I think there's good support in the general plan for this proposed change. I do have some list of findings for the Planning Commission to consider with your motion. And you can use these findings if you'd like. You can add any findings that you'd like. And the possible findings listed, the proposed amendment to section 1613.370L will require places of worship to have some Swiss European architectural elements. And in the staff report, I listed the entire list of architectural elements in the code right now. The idea is that not all of those elements are used, but some of those are used, and it's reviewed by the Visual and Architectural Committee. So it's not that every single one of those would be in every proposal, much like the commercial buildings. The next one, the proposed amendment will require places of worship to be reviewed by the Visual and Architectural Committee for a recommendation of compliance with the code. And finally, if approved, future places of worship will better match the Midway theme and vision of Midway as described in the general plan. So again, some findings for the Planning Commission to consider. We do have this scheduled for a public hearing. I don't think we received any phone calls asking about this one. I don't know if you filled in any. And I didn't either. But I'd be happy to take any questions that the Planning Commission has for staff.
Any questions before we open up the public hearing? All right, well then let's go ahead and open the public hearing. Is there anyone online for Zoom, since there is no one here in person?
Yeah, there are some online. I don't see any hands though.
All right, with that we will close our very brief public hearing. Anyone on the Planning Commission have comments or questions for Michael? If not, I would call for a motion. Can I ask one question before we go to that motion? There is not a way to have this be enforced for the stake center. Is that what I'm to understand?
Yes. I'm pretty clear with the vesting laws in the state. So yeah, there's not a way to require the current application to meet this new code. They can voluntarily do it.
We're hopeful that they will do such. Okay, thank
yes.
you. Someone from the Planning Commission like to make a motion, please?
I'll make a motion that we recommend for approval a code text amendment to section 16.13.370.A, commercial and resort architecture requirements, understanding that we change the language from churches to places of worship with staff's possible findings.
Wonderful. May I have a second?
A second then.
Wonderful. All right. Calling for the vote, I'd like to start with Kelly online, please.
Aye.
Thank you. And then down here,
Susan. Aye.
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 Okay. The motion is unanimously passed. Now, since our representative is not here from Southfield, what would you like to do at this point?
And so the Planning Commission can still act on this item, and I'm certain that I can describe it fairly well.
I got a hold of Dan. He's going to try to chime in a minute. If you want to proceed, and then he could.
Okay,
perfect. I said, hurry, we're on the last item.
Yeah, thank you for doing that. Yeah, I'll go through the presentation then. We'll see if Dan can join and answer any questions that the Planning Commission has.
Okay.
So this is a conditional use permit for what we call the South Hill Bistro, and this would be for an alcohol dispensing establishment. Now, as a city, we have broad discretion on issuing an alcohol license. Usually, conditional use permits need to be approved almost in every situation. They can be approved with reasonable conditions. This is the exception where you could deny a conditional use permit if you wanted to, or at least make a recommendation for denial to the City Council. So state law regarding alcohol is quite a bit different from other conditional use permits, so just so you realize that you've got broad legislative power on this. What is being proposed, and also I should explain that this is for, they would need to what they plan to do is apply for a restaurant license with the state. There's different types of alcohol licensing. So, for instance, there's the type of license that a 7-Eleven would have where there's no on-site consumption. Somebody would purchase alcohol and then they'd take it to another location to drink it. There's also a club and bar license where you don't have to buy food, for instance. You can go in and just buy a drink. But what would be applied for here is a restaurant license with the state. And so there has to be food sold for anybody buying a drink. There also has to be the correct amount of percentage of sales ratio with food versus alcohol. So there's different stipulations for a restaurant license than there would be for a bar. And this is not for a bar. This would be for a restaurant license. So this map shows the outline of South Hill. So this is on Main Street, just south of Memorial Hill. Here's a closer view of the development. And here is a copy of the overall master plan. And these yellow buildings on the very south end next to Main Street are the commercial buildings. The rest are the residential. And what we're looking at is this building right here, which is the east entrance, and it's on the west side of that east entrance as you drive in. So basically, they started construction in this area. And this is the one commercial building that's finished, or very close to finishing. There's the much larger spa, and this has two eateries in it. One restaurant was just permitted over here on the left. There'll be another one in the front. But this one is under construction, so we've seen that one go vertical. These other three on this side have yet to start construction, so we haven't seen a building permit for any of those. The structures that are under construction in the residential area is this phase one and phase two along this road, and a couple of those units now have their certificate of occupancies just as, so there's a couple that, at least one is being lived in right now, and the other one has potential. This ring of buildings right here is under construction right now. And then they're going to start on these ones over here fairly quickly. Phase three is this area over here with the road coming out to River Road. That is getting very close to being platted. So that's kind of where we are. We still have phases four and five that have yet to be applied for, and those will be coming in the future. Here's a closer view of that front area of phase one. So again, the tea house is here, and I think a lot of people recognize the sheep in this field, and they come right up to this building. It's really a nice, quaint building. They did a very good job with it. High quality. It's a nice building. It's relatively small. Basically, the lower floor is a commercial kitchen, is what it will be, and then the upper floor will be the eatery. And my understanding is this larger restaurant over here, the chef for that is going to run both of these buildings, so both of these restaurants. And here's a copy of the most recent aerial photograph that I had access to. This is probably mid last year, so the place has changed quite a bit since then. So on the analysis for this, well, I should go back for just a second. There's a couple of state laws that we need to follow. We have not seen any issues regarding distance from schools or public areas or parks. So, yeah, in state code, there you have to be at least a 200-foot distance from existing parks or schools, and we don't have that issue with this proposal. So we have not seen any problems with state code regarding this one being approved by the state. On the analysis, for a conditional use permit, there's seven different findings that should be reviewed. And so I listed all of these in your staff report, so hopefully you had a chance to read those over. And staff's comments, you can see are in this language that is italicized. And so that's how we looked at it as staff. Again, we didn't see any major issues with this or any minor issues, to be honest. And so I'll allow you, hopefully you had a chance to read those from your staff report. I won't go through and read each one of those. Kind of the possible findings for you to consider in your motion. The proposed use is conditionally permitted within the land use title and would not impair the integrity and character of the intended purpose of the subject zoning districts. The proposed use is consistent with the general plan. Number three, the approval of the conditional use permit for the proposed use complies with the requirements of state, federal, and Midway City regulations. The applicant shall obtain approval for the conditional use permit, local consent, business license, alcohol license, and obtain and comply with all applicable state licensing requirements from the Utah Department of Alcohol and Beverage Services. Number four, there will be no potential significant negative effects upon the environmental quality and natural resources that could not be properly mitigated and monitored. There's quite a few of these, so sorry about that. The next one, the design, location, size, and operating characteristics of the proposed use are compatible with the existing and future land uses with the general area in which the proposed use is to be located and will not create significant noise, traffic, or other conditions or situations that may be objectionable or detrimental to other permitted uses in the vicinity, or adverse to the public interest, health, safety, convenience, or welfare to the city. Proposed use and associated traffic are consistent with commercial use in the C2 zone. The next one, the subject site is physically suitable for the type and density intensity of the proposed use. Special events will need to receive the proper city permitting approval and comply with Midway City Code, including but not limited to light noise and light noise ordinances. The last one on this page, there are adequate provisions for public access, including internal and surrounding traffic flow, water, sanitation, and public utilities and services to ensure the proposed use will not be detrimental to the public health and safety. And the last four here, I promise. The proposed license will allow the sale of alcohol at the Mont Bleu for on-site consumption, so that's the name of this. The restaurant property is not located within 200 feet of any public park, school, library, church, or other facility, which might limit granting of an alcohol license. In my understanding is state code is this last legislative session that just finished, they are changing this law once again. They change it every year. And so, in years past, we had the ability to grant a local variance if something was within 200 feet, and we have done that in the past in Midway. Then they took that ability away, and I mean they as the state legislature. And now it sounds like it's coming back in certain circumstances. So it just is always changing, is what happens. Number four on this page, the state does regulate this type of alcohol license. And number five, special events on site would require to comply with Midway City Code. Possible they could have a special event, which is like a beer garden or something along those lines, and that can be approved administratively from staff. It still has to be approved by the state, but they would need to follow all of those requirements for any special events on site. We do have one proposed condition, and this condition is the same that we've seen for every conditional use permit for an alcohol establishment, and it's regarding the signage. So no alcohol-related signage would be visible on the exterior of the building or inside, visible from the outside, including from Main Street. So the idea is, We don't allow that type of signage on the outside of the building. Also, we don't want it to be on the inside advertising outside the building. So, again, that's been consistent with all of the conditional use permits that have been issued probably in the last 5 years, I'd say, here in Midway for alcohol licenses. So that is the presentation I have on this item. I'm happy to take any questions that the Planning Commission has.
Michael, when I drive by, it looks like they're going to have some open-air seating. And I can see that there's a little low half wall. Is that completely enclosed so that if you were having a drink with your dinner, you couldn't get up and wander into the open space with your drink?
Yeah, that is correct. So they have this area fenced off, and this is kind of the field for the sheep. And so there's a half wall right here, like you described. Yeah, matter of fact, right there. So you can see that
it is completely closed in. That's what I wasn't sure.
Yeah, and there are state requirements on, and I don't know all of the details to the rules regarding line of sight from the bartender to where people are drinking, where they can sit. And so they'll need to abide by all of those state laws regarding that outside area.
Thank you.
So.
What are they claiming as their parking areas?
Yeah, so they do have, so when we master plan the site, they do have extra parking based off of the number of overall stalls that they need. But basically the parking is along this area along the road. There'll be a much larger parking area back to the north of this the spa building. And that could be actually two levels, one level underground and another level at service. This master plan does meet the parking requirements for the entire master plan. But you know, with parking, you want to make sure that people are close enough that it's a walkable distance for them. Usually for restaurants, people will walk about 300 feet, which kind of brings in all of these stalls in this area is within 300 feet.
So what you're saying is they don't really need the underground parking to be compliant anyway, right?
That is correct.
Okay.
Yeah. So I do see Dan is online. Again, I'm happy to field any questions that the Planning Commission has, but also we have the applicant online too.
Okay, do we have questions for Michael or for the applicant? Does the applicant have anything they would like to add to this presentation?
So Dan, I've made it so you can speak if you'd like to. Do you have any comments you'd like to make? I see he came off mute, but I don't hear anything.
Okay.
So.
All right then. All right, if there are no further questions or comments, I think we are ready for a motion.
I'll make a motion.
Thank you. Oh, wait, is that a...
Hello, Dan?
Yeah, sorry, I was trying to unmute. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Okay, I don't have a lot to add except that the purpose of this alcohol license is, or this restaurant is largely intended to be open for breakfast and lunch and not dinner. So it's kind of a brunch scenario. Where the alcohol license would be served. The chef himself has a medical reason that he can no longer consume alcohol, and he has since won several awards for non-alcoholic drinks. And so I think it's an interesting place to be where he can provide both alcohol and non-alcoholic choices kind of in a fun way for breakfast and lunch, or kind of nice try to serve for brunch. So there's just a little color. That's all I wanted to add.
Thank you. Any further questions for the applicant from the Planning Commission? All right. Thank you so much, Dan. We appreciate it. All right, now continue, Jim.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. I make a motion that we accept for approval the conditional use permit and local consent at 23 North Holly Lane. And that we accept the staff report, the list of accepted findings, and place the condition, the proposed condition of no alcohol-related signage.
All right, we have a motion before us. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
All right, thanks. Again, I'll start the voting with Kelly online, please.
Aye.
Aye. Tim?
Aye.
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 All right, that passes. Any other items for us this evening that are not on our written agenda? No?
Nope.
All right, well then I need one more motion, please.
I'll make a motion that we adjourn.
All right.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Aye.
The motion is passed and we are adjourned. Thank you so much. I think we broke the record.
That was good.